Okay. Well, thank you for coming to our second Italian-themed lecture and cheer. And unlike our previous one, which is mainly focused on history and giving you a sampling or an overview of the Italian contribution to the Masorah, see here I wanted to pick one particular halachic issue, which of course is not unique to our tour experience, but we all know that pizza has become one of the most popular foods, certainly in America, and certainly among kosher consumers. We know now that's like the definition of a community now, is if it has a kosher pizza shop. So I thought that we would spend some time learning the halachos of what is the actual correct bracha to make on pizza. Just a quick word before we get into the halachic discussion. Do you ever know the history of pizza? I looked it up. It's interesting to know. So the truth is that some form, very basic form of food, which was called pizza, has been around as long as there are any historical records. And in fact, in the medieval and in the Mediterranean worlds, this simple food for poor people was eaten for centuries and centuries, and that we know of. However, it wasn't until the 17th century when tomatoes were not only brought to Europe, but were actually considered, originally they were thought to be maybe poisonous or something, but eventually when tomatoes became accepted, that's the addition of the tomato sauce. And the modern pizza, the type of pizza that we all know and love, actually is dated to something relatively recent. I didn't know this. 1889, and it is one of our ports of call, Naples. The pizza that we're most familiar with goes back to Naples. In fact, the general history of Naples, they take great pride in their impact in creating pizza. This quick story is that in June of 1889, a Queen Margarita of Seville came with her husband, the king, to Naples, and there was a very famous baker and pizza shop person at the time named Rafael Esposito, and he, in her honor, made the Pizzeria Margarita, which was the type of dough we're familiar with, basil, cheese, and tomato sauce. This, the staple of the pizza, which we all know and love, is actually dated in the official history of pizza as 1889, and it was originally called the Margarita Pizza. As we know, it's evolved, especially for the non-kosher consumer, to include all sorts of other foods. But basically, that is the history. Some form of it goes back thousands of years, probably, and the more modern pizza is, in fact, relatively modern, not that much more than 100-plus years ago. The issue of the bracha of pizza, which is really the halachic discussion inspired by Italy, but of course we eat pizza wherever we are. The halachic issue of what bracha to make on pizza is actually something that is quite interesting, because we're familiar with all sorts of foods, and the bracha is hamotzi, or mizonos, or ha'adama, or bereits. When you're a kid in school, they give you a brachos bi, and you have to memorize all the brachos. Sometimes it's complicated, and if there's apples, and there's watermelon, and there is potato chips, with the, you know, those complications we're familiar with. But usually we know what bracha to make on a specific food. In all of the world of the laws of blessings, of brachos, there's one category of food which is the question mark. It's not called pizza. The Gemara was not aware of pizza. That would be quite a sheer if I could find that in the Gemara. That I didn't find. But there is one category of food which will encompass, perhaps, pizza, which is actually one of the question marks in all of the laws of proper brachos. And this is something which is discussed, I'm just going to, again, for the sake of time, I'm not going to belabor the points too much inside, but I give you all the sources for anyone who wants to look it up more in depth, and I'm going to present it now. But this is from a Gemara in Masech HaBrachos, on Daf Mem Beis, Amud Aleph 42a. And here the Gemara introduces us to two things. One is the Gemara at the end of the second line introduces us to a phrase, which is the key phrase, what is known as Pas Haba'a B'Kisnin. I'm not going to translate it yet, because we don't know how to translate it. That is itself the debate. What is this food called Pas? Pas we know is bread in Aramaic. Haba'a B'Kisnin. We're not sure what that is. What the Gemara does tell us is that there was confusion about what bracha to make. Because we see the word pas, it's not surprising. The Gemara says one tradition was you make hamotzi, like any other bread. But then the Gemara says, no, there was a counter tradition not to make hamotzi. So what's the upshot? What's the bottom line of the Gemara? So if you look on the bottom where it's underlined, the Gemara concludes, it depends. Shan yihasam dekava sudasei alayhu. Havlecha delo kava sudasei alayhu lo. When do you make hamotzi on this food, which we don't know what it is? When do you make hamotzi and benching and brakat amazon? If you established your meal, kava sudasehu, you made your meal on that food. So then you'd make washing, hamotzi, benching. But if you ate the exact same food, but it was not koveya suda, you didn't make that your meal, then there's no hamotzi, there's no benching, and by implication, the assumption is that instead the bracha would be what? Mizonos. So we have something very intriguing and confusing in this Gemara. Because we don't have this by any other food, virtually. We don't know what it is, and we also don't know when to make which bracha. So if you were plotting this on the graph, we have two variables. And this is really, I want to then divide our lecture into two halves. The first part is identifying this hidden creature. What is Pasa Baba Kistan? That's the ABC of this question. If we'll identify what the Gemara has in mind, then we'll be able to know, is pizza in that category or not? Number two is, even if we know what it means, even if pizza is in the category, so then we have a second question, which is, what is the second thing in the Gemara? What did the Gemara mean when it said, Koveya Suda? Does that depend subjectively? At the same time, I could have the same food with Suda, you could have it as a snack. Does that depend on time and place? Subjective, objective, we don't know any of this. So we have two questions, and in both cases, we'll give other examples, but so to speak, our eye on the prize, our goal is to get back to Italy, is what is the proper blessing, the bracha on pizza. So
it's very important because tomorrow in Rome are great pizzas.
Oh, very good. So there we go. So let's see what we got. So there is a
question.
Okay, that's not part of the lecture. So the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, we know wrote his magnum opus was his collection, a summary of all of the rabbinic literature that predated him in a commentary to the Torah, which he called the Beis Yosef. It's interesting, you never know how history is going to work out. When we think of the name Rav Yosef Karo, we think of course, the Shulchan Aruch, that has become the defining book for all of Judaism. In his own lifetime, in his own self-perception, he viewed that as what we would call the cliff notes, the shorthand. His main work, what he put in much more time and energy, was the Beis Yosef, which now only rabbinical students study. But everybody knows about the Shulchan Aruch. So we never know. You mentioned in the car today, right? You know, Mensch Tracht v'Gottlob. You never know what's going to be, even with your accomplishments, how history is going to judge. But be that as it may, in this particular case, the Beis Yosef is a very handy summary for us. And he tells us that in the rabbinic literature on this confusing topic, again, we don't know. Our question is, the Talmud has this phrase of Pasa Baba Kistan. It's a certain type of food. We want to know whether it's about pizza or not, but we don't even know what it is. And then we can decide what the proper blessing, what the proper bracha is. So what is it? So the Beis Yosef summarizes, and he says, in all of the previous rabbinic literature, there were in fact three different opinions. What is this mysterious food? The first opinion he quotes from a number of prominent authorities, including the Rashba and Rabbeinu Hananel, is, if you take a look at the end of the second line, it's a type of food which is asuyim kimin kisim. Kis is a pocket. What is that? What would we call that?
Sandwich.
Or no, we would call that a pie.
A pie, yeah.
Some kind of a pie. Right. It's a food which is baked out of some kind of a dough. But what makes this different than a different kind of a regular bread? Because as opposed to regular bread, which is just the flour and water, this is something that's stuffed with, as an example, it was common in those days, nuts, honey, or some kind of spices. So that's the first possible definition of Pas HaBaba Kistan. However, the Gemara, the Beis Yosef, is a second opinion from, among others, notably Maimonides, the Rambam. The Rambam gives us a second definition. If you look now on the fourth line, he says an Isa, it's a dough, Shenilusha bidvash over shemen over chalav shibir of mimena mine tavlin va'ofa. What is it? It's kind of like what we might call a cake, a sponge cake, or a honey cake. It's a dough, much like another kind of dough. You start off with the regular flour and water, but you don't limit it to that. You add honey, flavorings, oil, milk, fruit juice to the dough. Perhaps instead of water, perhaps in addition to water, we'll have to see. And that alone is enough, in the Rambam's view, to perhaps create a different blessing, a different law. So we, so far we have pie, we have cake, and then there's the third opinion. The third opinion is quoted by Rav Hai Gaon and the Aruch that says, if you look on the fifth line, kochen, what is that? It's a type of cracker. Hipas, sometimes it's dipped, sometimes it's not dipped, but it's made dry, yeveshim and kochen, and hard, what we would call a cracker, a flatbread. Maybe a bagel chip. That, in the third opinion, is pasa babakistan. So again, to review, the Talmud said that there's a certain kind of food which we didn't know what it was, which unlike most foods where we know what the bracha is, on this kind of food, the Gemara says, the bracha is a variable. Depending on when or how you eat it, which we haven't defined yet, you might make hamotzi, or you have to wash and have benching, or maybe it's only a mizonos, an ala mechia. So what is that food? We didn't know. So far we have three opinions, which actually correspond to foods that we all commonly eat. The first opinion was kind of a pie. The second opinion was some kind of a cake, dough that's mixed with or kneaded with fruit juices, honey, milk, things like that, sweetening. And the third opinion was crackers, things like that. Now it's worth noting, just I'm not going to have time to read it inside, but in sources 3, 4, and 5, a number of the more recent authorities, including the Mishnah Berurah, point out that you should just know, he says, don't think if you take regular flour and water and put in a drop of honey that that changes everything. Right? Egg challah. Many of us eat egg challah regularly, right? So all of a sudden that's not hamotzi because it has a little egg kneaded into it. Or what about raisin challah? Maybe a little cinnamon, right? It's common, at least in my neighborhood, some of the women in my neighborhood, they like to put a little cinnamon into the challah. It tastes very delicious. Is that all of a sudden not bread because there's a little cinnamon in it? Or for that matter, let's say you had a whole bread with a little jam in it, with a little something filling. Is that going to change this? So the poskim point out that it has to be a significant quantity, whether it's the first opinion that we're talking about a form of a pie, a filling, or that second opinion that talks about you change the ingredients because you need it with certain other things, that it has to be a large enough quality of other sweetening or sweeter ingredients that really change the taste. If it's basically the same bread taste with a little oomph on the side, that's still bread. But if it's something, right, you wouldn't say cake, even if it started off with the same flour and water, cake is a complete, it's not just the texture is different, the taste is completely different. It's not chocolate bread, it's a different taste. So there could be times where it would be not exactly precise how to, where the line is, and that's something I can't decide for you now. But just as a concept, we should understand that we have these three opinions, and at least in the first two, where we're talking about changing the ingredients, it really is a type of a change which is somewhat radical. And if you have any of those foods, then that would be sufficient. So now the question is, what about pizza? Right? This is what they were talking about hundreds and hundreds of years ago in the time of the Talmud and the commentaries. So now, we're living post-1889, and more recently when they first brought pizza to Chicago, so anyone else, certainly we grew up in America, so we know pizza, and everywhere else, eventually pizza's fame spread. So pizza isn't exactly any of these three. The question is, how does pizza slot in? So if we think about it, the first question we have to know is, well, which opinion is correct? Every time I come home from giving a lecture, my wife will say, what did you speak about? I'll tell her the topic. Let's just say, what is the ruling? What's the halacha? And before I could finish, she'll say, I know, it's a machlokes. So this is one of those topics where she can't catch me on it. Because if you take a look in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch makes his definitive ruling. Three opinions, which we saw. So which one is right? It's a big difference. Not just pizza. For crackers, bread, pies, what are we going to make the blessing on? So the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the various opinions. And then on the last line, you see where I have it underlined in source number 6, he says, Halacha kedivrei kulam. We actually hold like everybody. Now, is that a stringency or a leniency? He says it's a huge leniency. Shalakol elu dvarim. Nostin lehem dinim she'amarnu b'pas b'abakissin. And the leniency that you don't have to wash, that we could just make a mizonos on a type of food, whether it's a cake, whether it's a pie, whether it's a cracker, all three of these opinions, says the Shulchan Aruch, in any of these, we can be, I guess for you could call it lenient, and you don't have to wash and say the benching. You could just make one bracha in the beginning, the borei mine mizonos. L'hakel.
So the pasavo v'kisnin is mizonos.
Correct. Unless we didn't get to the second half of the lecture, which is what about establishing a meal. We didn't get to that yet.
Just today with a pie, that's not really what we do.
We didn't get to that yet. So right now, if I had to ask you, let's think about it. All we know right now is, so what bracha do you make on pizza? So let's think. According to the first opinion, pizza is something that's filled with all sorts of other foods. One could argue that pizza would meet that criteria. It doesn't have to be in. First of all, if you go one of those, certain types of pizza now, what they call deep dish pizza, where they actually have the vegetables or the cheese inside. But even if you didn't have that, according to that first opinion, pizza would seem to qualify. According to the second opinion, so then it might depend. How did they need the pizza? In some communities, in Israel to some extent, in many pizza shops, it's not uncommon for them to make the pizza with fruit juice. They need the dough with fruit juice. In some cases, milk is a very common issue because of the people who have all sorts of allergies. So sometimes I know people who have milk allergies, so they go, they want to get a cheeseless pizza. But depending on where you go, it doesn't help because sometimes the dough is needed with milk. So if you have a pizza like that, according to the second opinion, that would also be a pasavo v'kisnin. But the third opinion that says it's crackers, so then we would probably strike out. But it doesn't matter because the Shulchan Aruch says that as long as it's any one of the opinions, it would seem to be right now that pizza with 2 for 3, which as you know if you follow baseball, if you go to the Hall of Fame, if you hit 2 for 3, presumably pizza seems to be right now a 2 for 3, which all you need is one, and they got two, example of this special kind of food, which one would only have to make a mizonos, one would not have to wash and worry about finding a cup and all that stuff, and would not have to bench. However, of course, this leads us to the second and trickier criteria, which is that even if pizza is this food of pas hababa kisnin, the Gemara did not say that you always make mizonos. The Gemara said it depended. If you're koveya su'uda, which we don't yet know what it means, then you still have to wash and bench. If you didn't koveya su'uda, so then it's only a mizonos. So in a simple language, we know what koveya su'uda means, make or establish a meal. But in terms of actually implementing this question, we want to figure out what's the right thing to do. So we need to understand better, what does the Talmud have in mind? What does the Gemara mean when it says, if you eat enough, is it the amount? Is it how? Is it when? Does it matter if you have a tablecloth or not? It's china or plastic. How do you decide whether this is a meal or not? Because even if we assume, which right now we are assuming, that pizza is in this category, but you still might have to wash if it's koveya su'uda.
Because the pita. You don't feel the pita. It's filled with.
Because that's afterwards. That's after. That's not how you cooked it.
That's like a sandwich.
That's not how you cooked it. That's like taking a slice of bread and putting in food afterwards.
Yeah.
This is cooked with it. Maybe I wasn't clear.
Okay.
It's you cooked it with stuffing it in,
okay.
Or all the stuff. Now pizza is cooked that way.
Yes.
Pizza is cooked that way. So what does it mean to have this kind of a meal? So the truth is that there are various opinions, because we have other areas of halacha where also we require a certain establishment of a meal. And different opinions are suggested, usually as if you're familiar with the study of Talmud or halacha, so we know often the Gemara used other examples of foods to approximate measures. We're most familiar with a kezias, a volume of an olive, a kebetza, the volume of an egg. We don't mean you actually have to eat the olive or the egg. But it means when we're trying to figure out the volume of food, if you crush it up, how much would you have? So there are various opinions trying to figure out what measurement of this you should have. How much pizza would you have to have? How much cake or pie would you have to have? However, The predominant view is that we don't have to do any of that measurement. Even for those of us who are not mathematical or scientifically inclined, it's okay, because the Mishnah Berurah summarizes in source number 7 that most opinions, including prominently the Vilna Gaon and others, so we don't have to go crazy like this. This is a very important thing. You have to be with it. You have to know what's going on in the world you live in. In whatever society, time, and place you live in, you have to find what is the main meal of the day, and that might differentiate. In Europe, it might be lunch. In America, it's dinner. But whatever meal is the main meal in the time and place you live, and what is the quantity of food? Not just bread. Anything. What is the, how much do people eat for that meal? What's the sa'uda in your time and place? What's a meal? Whatever you'll estimate that to be, if you were to have just enough of this pas habavakisnin, your pie or your crackers or whatever, of that volume, let's just make up a number for now. I'll call it 7, the volume of 7 eggs worth. I'm making that totally arbitrary. You can give me any other number, it's fine too. But if I ate enough cookies or crackers of that, that would be called koveya suda, so it seems. Because that's the average amount that people eat typically in your time and place for a meal. And if you eat just enough of that, you might have to wash. So for example, Ophi asked me before, he says, it's not uncommon for me to eat an entire box of cookies. So would I have to wash? I said, you might. It's a very novel halacha. Most people don't know this. But even though cookies are this category of pasul babakistan, everyone agrees. But it says, if you're koveya suda on pasul babakistan, now what's most of us would never eat that much cake or cookies. But if you could figure out and do the basic rough math of did you eat enough cookies that basically that's equivalent to what you would have eaten if you had had a normal meal, but you decided to eat it in cookies or cake or something else, then in fact, again, it's rare. I would say it's rare, but in fact, it's shocking. You would actually have to wash on cookies and make benching on cookies. It's a good reason not to eat so much. You should diet. Who wants to bench on cookies, right? But in theory, pretzels, cookies, absolutely. Now, I just point out on the bottom of the page in 8 and 9, some of the discussion is how much subjectivity is there? We go by everyone. What, let's say I'm a bigger eater. So most people eat this amount, but I eat much more. So does that matter or not? So that's actually a debate. The Ravid and the Rush, some of the great Rishonim. But the dominant ruling, which is what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of the page, number 9, is we can't function this way in halacha. It's a legal system. Legal system has to take a broad consensus. And therefore, even if you're a big fresser, too bad for you. We go by what is common in your time and place. And if that is whatever X amount is, even though you usually eat more in your meals, but if you'll eat all of that food, if you'll eat that amount of this food, whatever it is, the cake, the pie, the crackers, then you would actually have to wash. So again, even though it is in this category, possible of a kisnin, but sometimes if you eat enough, you'll have to. Now it's interesting, if you turn over the page in number 10, the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, he makes an interesting observation. He says, even though a legal system has to take a broad consensus, we can't say, well, for Shimon it's this, and for Sarah it's that, and for Jackie it's that, because that's just impossible. But he says that we do take into account broad categories of people. So in the same time and place, a senior citizen might eat a little bit less than a middle-aged person. A little child is certainly going to eat less than an adult. And the Bir Halacha says, in fact, Zakein, Ona'ar. So it's not just time and place, it's a little bit more complicated. But for the average person in your broad group. Now, I've seen some contemporary authorities who suggest that perhaps we can distinguish between men and women. Certain, you know, the average man eats more than the average woman, so maybe that would be a factor. And I even saw one who wrote in an article that maybe teenagers are their own category. As the parent of one, I could for sure agree. Although I have a daughter, so she's not such a big eater. She makes us crazy with other things. But teenagers, somebody I know is a friend who teaches in a yeshiva high school. He said he asked his students, what would be a typical meal of pizza, for example? And they, if they eat anything less than a pie themselves, they figure that's just a snack. Right? So teenagers are like their own creatures. So maybe we can make a subcategory of teenagers. I don't know. Certainly in other areas we would make subcategories for teenagers. But certainly, broadly speaking, if one would eat that much of the cake, the crackers, or, in our case, the pizza, one would have to wash. Now, the truth is that most of the time, taking the Entenmann's cookie, for example, box, most of us are not eating, I hope, that much of the food. So in theory, we're still, if we would stop here, pizza might fit into the category, but if I don't eat a huge amount, I'm still okay. I could still make a mizonos. One problem, I have to throw a wrench in. There's a big stringency, a big chumrah of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, in source number 11, says when we say that you had to establish your meal, whatever that volume is of the average meal in your time and place for your basic, you're an adult, you're a child, whatever the case is, it doesn't mean that you have to eat that much of the cake or that much of the crackers. It means you have to have eaten some crackers or some cake or something else in this category along with other foods that combine to equal this amount. If you eat combination. So for example, I have, let's take a kiddush. You go to shul, right? Some people have very elaborate kiddushes in shul. So I have, and you have to make a little mizonos after kiddush. So I have a piece of cake and a ragalach right away. Then I go and I have the herring. Oh, the cream herring with the cracker. Then they have matzah herring. I have a little bit of that. Then I have something to drink. Then I go with the egg salad and the tuna fish on different crackers. Then at the end, I have to have one last piece of cake. Oh, it looks delicious. Before you know it, you may not have eaten enough crackers and cake to make a whole meal. But you had crackers and cake and you had all sorts of other food. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very famous chumrah stringency. I have it in source number 13. He talks about a smorgasbord at a wedding, but what he's describing is exactly a kiddush as well. He said, in our time and culture, he's talking about in America, but I think it's pretty much true in the Western world, we don't just eat huge amounts of bread. We have bread or crackers with other foods. And in Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion, if you have some cholent at the kiddush, and some kugel at the kiddush, and some sweet and sour meatballs, and then the sesame chicken, and then at the end you wash it down with a piece of seven-layer cake. In a retrospect, Lamafreya, you had to wash and bench at the kiddush. Now the common practice, the minhag, is not like this. This tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein is very, very strict, and it is not the mainstream view. But that is his view. The more commonly accepted view is what I have in number 14 from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, which, for those in Israel who are more familiar with, also the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And they both agreed halfway with Rabbi Feinstein. They said it's true that we can combine the egg salad and the herring and the cholent and all the yummy foods with the possible bekisnin, but they said on one condition, that the type of cracker or thing that we're talking about is the type that you would eat with the other foods. But if you have all these other foods, which are, let's say, mainly shahakol, bar pri adam, or other foods, and then in the end for dessert, you have a little bit of a cake or mizonos, so whereas Rabbi Feinstein holds in, you'd have to wash, and really you should have washed from the beginning, they hold, no, that you can't combine. What is the dessert? Right, ma inyan the dessert, etzel, the herring that I had before. There's no connection. They hold that we only combine them, but if you have crackers, so crackers with the tuna, crackers with the herring, right? In the old-fashioned, what are those called? What were those old-fashioned? The kichels. Right? Certain, the whole generation of Jews grew up on kichel. Not my generation, apparently, but a whole other generation. So they would agree, Yaakov Kamenetsky, if you had enough, again, if you eat a small amount, that's the best thing for your health and for the bracha. But if you did have a big amount with the kichel and the crackers and the, you know, the little manischewitz matzah little pieces, and you had the other food, so then even they would agree, taka, you have to wash at the kiddush even though you didn't have any bread. But if it's just dessert cake, so what do you do? It's interesting. I have a friend who's a rabbi in Tinek. He suggests that people, if they really want to fress at the smorgasbord or at the kiddush, that they should have the mizonos, they should have pasta. Because for a variety of reasons which are too beyond the scope of today's shiur, everyone holds that you would not wash on pasta. Pasta is for sure mizonos, no matter how much you eat of it. You can get sick on pasta, it's still mizonos. So it's still mizonos, so it's good enough for kiddush, b'makom suda, but you wouldn't have to wash. That's one way out of it. But you have to really be careful. Again, as I said, the main thing is, because if you come home, your wife will be upset anyway if you ate too much. I once had a lot of the kiddush when we were going out. And this family never forgave me because they were so insulted. They ate a lot at the kiddush. They thought that I didn't think that the food would be good. I didn't know the food wouldn't be good, but I knew one thing, that the Kiddush was good, so why take a chance? You know, I don't remember exactly what I ate, but I didn't wash, I'll tell you that. I hope I did the right thing. So what about pizza? We're almost home at the stretch. We have 5 more minutes till Mincha, so we're almost there. 2 more steps and I'll wrap it up for pizza. So if we would stop here right now, what I would say is as follows. And in fact, this has been a common, although not understood, but at least in America, I could say, was a common psak, certainly when I was growing up and probably even before that. And that is that even though he has no written tshuva on it, but there was a very well-known oral tradition of the opinion of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that said it depended, pizza, on how much you eat. If you eat one piece was mizonos, 2 pieces or more was amosis. So where did that come from? So before today's shir, it sounded very weird, but now I hope you understand where it's coming from. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein assumed that pizza was pasa baba kisnin. That's his first assumption. Why? Because it's either because it's made with fruit juices, or even if it's not, but it has the tomato sauce and the cheese and stuff. That's like the first opinion. Number one. Number two is, well, what is this, how much is enough to be koveya suda? And Moshe assumed for the average person that was 2 slices. So I know many people, till this very day, in fact, I was a rabbi in Baltimore, the official Star K, which is the Vada Kashrus of Baltimore, if you look on their website. So they also say, if you eat one piece of pizza, you can make a mizonos. That's based on this. Now, what one thing, though, which you have to understand, which some people, I think, don't realize, is if you have only one slice, but with it you have French fries and onion rings and a soda, and then you have the eclair for dessert, so then, even though you only had one slice, but that still constitutes, in my opinion, koveya suda, because all of the other food is certainly sufficiently equivalent in volume to one slice of pizza. And that's food you eat together. It's not like it was the dessert with the herring, which we say is not mitzaref. Here, the french fries and onion rings go with the pizza. That's why they sell it in the same pizza shop. So there, I think, even if one accepts that position, it's only if you had only the one slice of pizza as mizonos. Now, just so you should know, things sometimes change, as certainly in America, in Europe and Israel, people eat a little bit less. But in America, for example, people eat huge amounts of food. So, for example, the Star K did a survey, very unscientific, and they said that nowadays, really, for an average adult male, a meal is 3 slices. They said things changed since Rav Moshe Feinstein's time. So they say on their website, 1 slice, still a mizonos, that's a snack. 3 slices, that's a meal. What about 2 slices? Better to wash on the French bread and then eat the pizza. Not to have only 2 slices. They say that's a little bit unclear. But all of this is an adaptation of Rav Moshe's view, which was the dominant view in America for over a generation, which assumes that we can plug pizza into the 2 halves of this Gemara. But I need 3 more minutes because, in my opinion, this is not correct. I say my opinion. The opinion of many, many great rabbis, including my own teachers, that this is a mistake. With all due respect to the Star K and even the tradition of Moshe Feinstein. And the reason is twofold. Number one is if you take a look in source number 15, the Shulchan Aruch, even when he says that there's a halacha, a pasa baba kisnin, which is only a mizonos, but then he has a new food called a pashdita. What's the pashdita? It sounds eerily familiar to pizza. He says a food that is baked, some kind of a flour baked thing, but it's baked with meat, fish, or gvina, cheese. Unlike pasta baba kisnin, which was before sweeter things, we saw honey, spices, nuts. Here he says, no, if it's meat, fish, or cheese, then it's hamotzi and benching, no matter how little you have. Why? So according to most views, the reason is because once you're adding that type of food, that's not just a different kind of a pie. That's already a real meal food. The fact that you put it into like a chicken pot pie, which is what it sounds like. So what? That's bread with chicken in it. That doesn't change the fact that it's flour and water, baked. So many opinions hold that pizza is already a problem. Because pizza is the modern, Italian, American, Western version of this ancient food that the Shulchan Aruch called pashtita. And pashtita is always hamotzi. Now, the truth is, there are other opinions. Again, I don't want to get too technical, and we're running late on time anyway. There are opinions that nullify or negate the power of this source. So if I only had what I just told you now, it's enough to weaken the case, but I don't know if I can make my full case. The biggest issue, and this will conclude, is what we have in sources 19 through 21. And that is the following. Let's go back to what we said towards the beginning of the lecture. We had three opinions as to what this mystery food was. Was it pie, was it cake, or was it crackers? And we saw, surprisingly, that the Shulchan Aruch paskin like all three. Let me ask a question. Why? Three opinions. Usually there's three opinions on every question. That's not just a cliche. It's actually true. But the Shulchan Aruch's job is that he rules. He picks one and he decides. You got to make a decision in life. The Shulchan Aruch knew how to make decisions. How come here he didn't make a decision? He was afraid? Why did he pick all three? So most of the commentaries, not all, but most of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look in source number 19, he attributes this to the Ma'amar Mordechai, but it's not just the Ma'amar Mordechai, it's the Levush, it's the Aruch HaShulchan, and it's many, many others. So you know what's going on? We've been misunderstanding this from the get-go. Really, 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 pie, crackers, cake, it's not a debate. It's not a debate. None of the opinions were arguing with each other. Rather, they're all three examples of the same thing. That everyone agrees that this unclear term, which we began the shiur with 35 minutes ago, three words, pas, habab, kistan, which we didn't know how to translate it. So we said, well, maybe it's pie, maybe it's crackers, maybe it's cake. That's not the issue. Most authorities say those are all just examples. The real translation, the real definition of this category is it's a code word. And it's a code word for an English word, one word. Snack. Pasa Baba Kistan was saying that snack food, even if it's made from the exact same ingredients, flour and water, that bread is made from. But bread is a meal food. It's a staple. It's a staff of life. That's bread. That's hamotzi. Bench. Wash, bench, the whole nine yards. But pasa Baba Kistan, i.e. snack food, so that's only mizonos, unless koveya suda, you're a mishugana, and you eat an entire box of snack food, so then you made that into your meal. But for the average person, it's a snack. So what's the snack? Maybe it's pie, maybe it's crackers, maybe it's cake. Those are all examples, but it's like throwing darts at the board. They're approximations, they're examples, but it's not an argument. All three, why does Shulchan Aruch pasken like all three? Because it's not three opinions. There could be 10, and there could be 10, or there could be 2. The number doesn't matter. It's the category. Anything that's a snack food, even if the ingredient, it's not about ingredients per se. It's about a fundamental definition. Is it a snack food, or is it a meal food? If we were to accept this understanding, which I am telling you is in the classical achronim, the majority view, and even among contemporary authorities, a majority view, so it has many, many ramifications. And I'm going to leave with you two, which is, I'm going to give you two inverse. The first one I'll tell you, we'll end with pizza, but I'll give you one more just to make it clear to you. What about a soft pretzel? Oh, a yummy New York style soft pretzel. They don't have those in Israel, like I tell you that. I miss it. Don't have it. Got to go to the streets of New York. Maybe other places too, but that's what I know it from. A soft pretzel. What's a soft pretzel? Flour and water. Why don't you have to wash on a soft pretzel? Maybe you should.
It's not kovei
suda. So 1 second, let's go. According to the first opinion, Pasuk Baba Kisnin, it's not soft pretzel, it's not a pie, we don't fill it with anything. The second opinion, do we make it with milk or fruit juices? No, we don't. The third opinion, is it a flat, hard cracker? No, we don't. I know people, great rabbis, who don't eat soft pretzels too often, but if they do, they wash and bench on a soft pretzel. Just a different form of bread. So you should know, matzah, I was going to mention, but it's a little complicated. But just you should know, the Sfaradim, not all, but many Sfaradim, will make mizonos on matzah, except for Pesach. But the rest of the year, they make a mizonos on matzah. Why? Because that's the third opinion. It's a cracker. How come Ashkenazim make hamotzi on matzah is its own topic. And I don't know where the cruise would have to go to make that a relevant sheer topic, but that's not exactly our topic. But it's clearly related to our issue. But soft pretzels are a perfect example. If you assume that there was three opinions and they were arguing and the whole issue is the one of ingredients, So then a soft pretzel is 0 for 3. 3 strikes and you're out. It doesn't meet the criteria of any of them. So then you should wash on a soft pretzel. But if you assume that it's not about ingredients, that these are just three random examples, but that the real definition, the real question is snack or meal food. So I don't know anyone, the biggest lover of soft pretzels, but it's still not a meal. No one eats a meal, not lunch, not breakfast, not dinner, on a soft pretzel. Not even two, not even three soft pretzels. That's not a meal food. And therefore, I think, based on this, that the correct bracha on soft pretzels is what you've always thought, which is mezuzos, even though it doesn't meet the criteria of any of the opinions. But yet, because it's a snack food, if you've been saying mezuzos on soft pretzels, in my opinion, it's correct. But now we conclude, what about pizza? So this is why many, many great authorities, and source number 20 is the Sefer of my Rebbe, Rabbi Mordechai Willig. He wrote the Sefer, if I'm not mistaken, close to 20 years ago, at least 15 years ago, the Am Mordechai. And now in source number 21, the book Zos HaBracha, quotes from Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Eliashiv. And they all say, and many others, the OU's official position, Rav Schechter, Rav Belsky, Rabbi Willig, all the big OU poskim, other big poskim, all hold that nowadays, even on one slice of pizza, you have to wash. It's hamotzi. Why? After all, what about the cheese and all the other things? And maybe it's even made in some places in Israel with fruit juice. It doesn't matter, they say. Because pasta baba kissa is not an issue of ingredients. It's an issue of meal versus snack. And here these poskim, they're with it. You know, sometimes the rabbis are criticized, they're not with it in the Times, on the Ivory Tower. The rabbis say, no, we're holding. We know what's going on in the real world. And there has been a shift sociologically, gastronomically, I'm not sure how to put it, over the generations, but certainly, the bottom line, if I ask the average person, is pizza a snack food or a meal food? It's unquestionable in our time and age that it's a meal food. If you have little kids, every Thursday night it's a meal food. Pizza for dinner, pizza for lunch. Is it possible that a person would grab pizza in the middle on the run for a snack? It's possible. It's not common and it doesn't matter. Overwhelming majority of people who eat pizza are eating it for a meal, whether they have one slice because they're not so hungry, or they have a small appetite, or they're a big chazer, so they have three or four slices. It does, and if they're a teenager, they eat a whole pie. The amount's not important. Pizza in our day and age is a meal. I think it's almost unquestionable. And therefore, if you assume that that's the correct definition, as these, I think in my opinion, it's the majority already of opinions held this way, again, with all due respect to my former Avada Kashrist in Baltimore, then it doesn't matter how much you eat. It's not one, it's not three. We don't have to stop making a vote. One slice, two slices, it doesn't matter. With french fries, with onion rings, it doesn't matter. With the milkshake, with the soda, it doesn't matter. Any bit of pizza is like having a little bit of bread, because that is a meal food. And therefore, in this majority view, again, I'm not here to poskin, I'm not any of your local Orthodox rabbis, but I'm just here to share the information with you. The majority view, as far as I'm aware of nowadays, is that despite what we may have grown up with, that pizza really you should wash on even for a small amount. I will just tell you, it's just an interesting footnote, just so I shouldn't lie, in many of the pizza shops in Israel, even under the hashkacha of the Eid HaRedis, they say mezonos. If you go to the famous Uri's Pizza in Geula, the most famous pizza shop in all of Yerushalayim, if not Israel, they have a big sign, mezonos. And I have a friend who once asked for a cup and they wouldn't give it to him to wash. Brucha Levatula! That's a 12-year-old boy. He's arguing with the big rabbi, you can't wash on our pizza, it's mezonos. Eid HaRedis said, I don't understand it. It doesn't, because even if you hold this with fruit juice, I think they make that pizza with fruit juice, but that doesn't matter. I'm sitting down and I'm eating lunch. It's hard to understand, but it's, as far as I can tell, it's a minority view. The majority view, as far as I know at this point, thinks that it should be a motzi. I'll just tell you one last story, which this will conclude. When I went for my interview to be the rabbi in Baltimore, so after one of the many interviews was on a Motzei Shabbos with 30 people, and in the middle of a three-hour interview, about an hour and a half in, they delivered pizza for everybody. And before it ever got to me, the box was going around, people were taking slices, and I noticed right away, no one was getting up, and they're all eating the pizza. Meaning, they're figuring, I figured out, they're eating one piece, and they're going to make a mezonos. The problem is, I know from my teachers, that I always wash and make hamotzi. So I figured very quickly it wouldn't be great for a job interview after 13 people had already eaten pizza without getting up to wash. If I would say, excuse me, I have to go wash because you're a bunch of schkutzim because you didn't wash and I'm very frum and I'm going to wash, I probably wouldn't have gotten the job. So I was able to think quickly on my feet and I explained to them that this was a very high-pressure interview and I was way too nervous to eat anything. And therefore, I appreciate it, but they should go on eating and I'm just going to have the interview. And after the interview, I was almost faint with hunger, but I was able to get the job. And then once I got the job, then I could tell everyone that I wash on pizza. but I didn't want to tell them at the interview. So everyone should do what they've been doing. You could ask your local Orthodox rabbi what to do. But at least we now understand our favorite Italian food, pizza. We know the history of pizza. And we now know that it's a very complex halachic question. But I think at the end of the day, as far as I can tell, the majority of you is that one should wash when they go to delicious pizza in Rome or in Naples the rest of the week. But if one has a small amount of pizza and only makes mazonos, I have to be honest, there are opinions to rely on, even though I do think at this point that is the minority view. Let's daven mincha, and let's eat, hopefully, yummy, delicious food. Okay, thank you for coming.